I want to look just for a few minutes to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, a verse of scripture that the Lord has led my heart to for this morning. And there's a great help to be had here, I believe. A great admonishment to be had here in these verses. And we appreciate you being a part of our service today. And of course, this evening, Lord willing, at 6 o'clock, we will be doing another live stream broadcast right here from inside our sanctuary. And we're in much prayer. We're much prayer over all that's going on. And many of you are troubled, and many of you have got things going on, and you don't know how it's going to turn out and the outcome. And I even got to thinking, you know, where's all this going, and what's the going? Will, and I even said to my wife, will the America that we have known up until this time, will that America ever be back again? Will it be different from here on out? And you know, we pray about these things. We pray that the Lord would shake up people and deal with sinners and deal with sin. I mean, there is bars closing, thank God. Places of wickedness that are closing. Our country has literally made idols out of the sports world, and all of that mess has been shut down. And you know, they think they're shutting the church down or closing the church up. Well, I got news for them and for you and for me and for anybody else that's listening, that the church is not a building. You can lock the doors and cut the lights out, and you've still not shut down the church. Thank God, the church. Jesus said upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm glad, hallelujah, for that. Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And the church can't sink and drown and go under till the head goes under. And he's not going under, amen. Praise the Lord. He's forever triumphantly seated upon the throne. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 12. I want you to listen to this verse of scripture. But verse 12, but beloved, so we know who he's talking to. He's talking to people that are saved. He's talking to the dearly beloved, well-beloved saints of God. And he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happen unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I want to just say here today that this verse definitely has something to say to us about what is taking place. How many people outside of church are literally falling apart over all of this that's happening? How many inside of church are falling apart? You know, in other words, a lot of saved people or professing saved people are acting and reacting like sinners. I think it would be a shame for sinners to view a saved person reacting the same way they are. It's normal for a lost person to be fearful. It's normal for a lost person to be governed by what they see and what they hear and what they feel. It's normal for that, because they're not saved. They don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. But now, we that have been regenerated, we that have been saved by God's amazing grace, listen, we are in this world, but we're not of it. Hallelujah. And I believe maybe that the Lord is using all of this circumstance maybe to shake up the church some. Maybe to stir up the church some. Maybe to show the church that materialism should not be top priority. And financial goals and financial success should not be a top priority, because that could be gone overnight. The greatest
I believe personally, and this is my personal opinion, I believe the greatest economy that our country's ever been in my lifetime was just in recent days. But look what's happening to it now. Look what's happening to it now. So I believe God is telling the church, God's people, don't make finances your goal. Don't make climbing the ladder of success your goal. Focus on serving the Lord. Focus on being what God wants you to be and doing what God has you to do. Because here's something that's going to happen one day. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You on the other side of that camera is leaving here. Right here, this preacher that's preaching to you this morning and the singers that sung this morning, listen, we're all eternity-bound people. We're leaving this world. And it will be sad to have given all of your days, all of your energy, all of your labors to that which you're going to leave here. It would be sad. It would be sad to try to gain ground with this world only to breathe your last breath unsaved and leave this world unprepared to meet God and spend forever and ever and ever in a Christless eternity. But he's addressing God's people. It's normal for sinners to be sinners and act like sinners and fall apart. They're not living by faith. But God's people know something they don't know. Thank God we've got a rule book that they don't listen to and don't heed. Amen. And so I'm thankful the Bible said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. I'm going to deal this morning just for a few minutes on testings of trials. Let me just make this comment before I cover a couple of things, and that is simply this. You're never going to be anything much for God if you don't go through some things. Amen. You're going to go through something. God always takes you through something to get you to something. He can't get you to it if he don't bring you through it. And he brings you through it to refine you. And he brings you through it, thank God, to train you and teach you that God will be faithful. I don't think that it's odd at all that when God led the children of Israel miraculously out of Egypt's bondage, I don't think that it's odd at all that he led them into a wilderness. He could have had led them straight into the land of Canaan in just a matter of a few days. Someone said 11-day journey. But he took them through the wilderness where there was no grocery stores, there was no hospitals, there was nothing that was in Egypt. There was none of the entertainment that was in Egypt. There was none of the attractions that were in Egypt. There was nothing attractive in that wilderness. There was nothing there that was appealing. Nobody chose that wilderness for a vacation spot. But God led his people there so that they would understand and that they could learn that when they don't have nothing but God, they have enough. Hallelujah. Boy, that fed me yesterday, I'm telling you. God took care of almost somewhere in the neighborhood of between 2 and 3 million people with no grocery store, no Cato's, no clothes store. Come on now, no Walmarts, none of that. He took care of them and he fed them with no problem. He clothed them with no problem. He allowed their clothes to last for the duration of the journey. Amen. Thank God when there was no water, he was able to provide water. He was able to do all of that. And I'm going to tell you, God does that with the Christians. When you get saved at some point through your life, in fact, various points, God's going to lead you through some wilderness type experiences to where you're going to find out everything's not going to be around me A number one. Everything around me is not going to be just top notch all the time. There's going to be times you look around, it's going to be dark. You're going to look around sometimes and there's things happening that you don't have an answer. You don't know what's going on. You didn't see it coming. But I'm glad we can look up in those days. I'm glad we can look up in those moments and find our help is in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. I am encouraged this morning. I want you to be encouraged this morning that the same God that stepped out on nothing in Genesis when there was nothing, hallelujah, he didn't take something and make something. He didn't find a pile of sand and a rock and a whatever, you know. No, he stepped out when there was nothing but God himself and said, let there be, and there was. I'm telling you, that same God. Y'all hearing me on the other side of this mic? Are you hearing me? That same God, hallelujah, that is self-existent and self, amen, existing. And you know what? That same God is the one I serve. That same God's the one that's on the scene today. We sing in the choir, and we may end up singing it in one of our specials tonight for our live stream service. He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne. Praise God, he is. You say, it don't look like it. Well, that don't mean it. See, there was your problem. You say, it don't look like it. Which set of eyes are you using? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening? If you use these eyes, all you can see is tangible things, earthly things, physical things, worldly things, fleshly things. But if you take and look through the book, hallelujah. Oh, yes, it's a looking great, hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Watch out now, which is to try you. He's not said might come. It might come. You can't read your Bible and not know that there's some difficult days coming. Paul gave warning, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You know, through the scripture that we have, over and over and over again, we have prophetical announcements of what it's going to be like in these days. And it shouldn't be a strange thing to us. It shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't cause us to falter. It shouldn't cause us to wobble on the shaft the old mechanics used to talk about, that analogy. No, we need to find out that God is saying, you know, these trials are coming. It's going to be a part of your life. But he said, here was a key word. He said, think it not strange. Don't you think it's good that he mentioned that? Think. I believe he used that word, think it not strange, to let us know that that's where the battle's going to be. I believe, listen, if you're defeated in your life, it started in your head. Amen. If you, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The Bible says that. And listen, if you think negative, you're going to live that way. If you think defeated, you're going to live that way. If you think depressed, you're going to live that way. Think it not strange. That word, I wrote down these definitions. That word think not shows us that he's addressing our mental state. How many times in the Word of God does God deal with our minds? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He deals with our thought life. Let me read this passage right here. You don't turn there. I drew great strength and consolation and help from this passage last night, Philippians chapter number 4 in verse number 8. Listen to what the Bible said. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what does it say? Think on these things. So he's telling us the importance, starting off, addressing believers. First place, before you even look at anything, look at your mental concept. What kind of thoughts are you thinking? Are they natural thoughts? That's what sinners' thoughts are. Panic, fall apart, hoarding, all of that stuff. That's way, that's natural response. I tell you, we sang the song to start the service, living by faith. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, whether sunshine, shadow, or rain, or whatever. And you know, we sing that, but I wonder how many of God's people are really living by faith. He said, think it not strange. That word think it not, that word not there expresses an absolute denial. Do not allow this to come into your mind. He's not giving a suggestion here. That is an absolute. Think it not. Don't think this way. Think it strange. Don't think it strange. That word strange means to be a host, furnish a house or lodging or to entertain. Don't let your mind, let your thoughts be that which furnishes a house or lodging for these thoughts that are not right, that are of the natural man. Think it not strange. Don't furnish the hospitality to these hurtful thoughts in your mind. Amen. Nobody ever quits church and gets out of church physically and literally, but what they hadn't already done that in their mind or had been doing that in their mind for some time. So be careful as the Lord addresses here in this verse our thoughts. Our thoughts. How long has it been since your mind was on a promise of the Word of God? How long has it been since your mind was given to the day when you got saved? No, in our day of panic, in our day of, of the pandemic and all that's going on in our world, people are literally coming apart at the seams. I've already heard reports of people killing themselves. I'm going to tell you, friend, I know that's a real problem, and I know some people that's done it. But I'm going to tell you right now, when a person stoops that low, they are not thinking on the Bible and the things of God. They are thinking on natural thoughts. And probably even a physical issue involved with that as well. But that's not God's will. God's not in that. God's not wanting us to kill ourselves. And you know, there's been people in the last few days have lost millions and literally billions of money. You think about the billions of money just in the sports world that has not come into their pockets because they couldn't have those games or they couldn't have that race or whatever the case was, and they have literally lost billions of dollars. You look at all the different things that have been airlines. Look at all the billions of dollars that's been lost there. Our economy took a plunge, and how many people have got their investments there and they have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars? And I'm going to tell you, you get to thinking stuff like that, I hate loss. I hate loss. I hate to lose, but I hate loss. I hate all that stuff. I hate that stuff. It burns me up when somebody takes advantage of me, lies to me, lies on me. I hate all that stuff. Amen. When somebody steals from me, I hate that. But what's going on in our world right now, nobody asked me if it was all right. Shame on them. I can't believe they didn't call me. I can't believe they didn't check with me and say, well, what do you mean you didn't give permission? No, they didn't ask me if they could do whatever they're doing. They just doing it. But anyway, let me get back with the thought here. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That word fiery there means it means to be ignited, smelting, burning. It literally means to be on fire. Now, I want to tell you, this is a fiery trial we're experiencing now. This is a fiery trial. Amen. Showing intensity. Showing, the effects of it. The fiery trial, which is to try you. Which is to, and that word try means putting to the proof by experience. God allows fiery trials to come in the life of the believer as well. The Bible said it rains on the just and on the unjust alike. So this trial is not just affecting sinners and the sports world and wicked people. Amen. It's affecting churches. It's affecting ministries. It's affecting mission works. A preacher friend of mine that was actually preaching when I got saved, he's a full-time evangelist, Brother Randy Bain. And he was supposed to be going on a mission trip, was going to be gone for a whole month, and all of that was planned, but all that got canceled because he was having to go out of the country. And he said to me this morning that all of his meetings has been canceled all the way up into May, the end of May. That's what he, you don't preach, you don't eat. A lot of people's on the loose, but it's a fiery trial, which is to try you, putting to proof by experience. If you get out of church and quit and turn your back on God in these days, that's proving and manifesting through your experience what you have or don't have. Let me give you this to think about. Testings are going to be a part of life. You can't evade that. Testings are going to reveal your weaknesses. I've seen even in this test that we're going through now, I've seen even some weaknesses that I need to give some attention to so that when it happens again or whatever happens again, I'll be more ready. I've noticed even in our church things that we need to address to get us ready for some other major things that who would have ever thought we'd be dealing with this? And we didn't see it coming years. Politicians probably did, but we didn't. I'm not going there, but testings reveal weaknesses. Testings proves your strength. If you're defeated, distracted, distant from the Lord, disobedient to the Lord's word, you got division in your heart toward God and God's people, amen, guess what? That's evidence. That's evidence right there that you're failing the test. That you went through the test, you failed the test. You're failing the test. And you know what? We learned from school, if you fail a test, what do you have to do? Take it over. Duh. Boy, I hated that. I hated that with a passion. Take it over. I don't want to take it over. I hate it. Best thing to do is try to pass it first time. When you go through one, and we're going through one now here in our country and in our world, you ought to say, Lord, help me not to fail this test. Tell your family, I don't want to fail this test. Tell yourself, I don't want to fail this test. I want to learn what God's wanting me to learn. I want to see those weaknesses in my life that I need to address. I want to see those insufficient areas I need to focus on in my life. I want this to make me better. I want God to help us with it. So let me give you this. Here's some areas that you're going to be tried in. Your faith is going to be tested. Faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. It's easy to talk faith, but it's harder to walk faith. It's easy to trust God with things you already have. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing how we come to church and we sing, living by faith. In Jesus above. And we sing that, oh man, they sing it. And we're trusting God and believing God and we're living by faith. And we got four cars in the yard. We got, it's easy to trust God when you can touch it, when you can see it and you can feel it and you have it. But when you see it being taken away, you see things being taken away and we're losing things. What are you going to do? You're going to collapse, fall apart? There's people losing their jobs through all of this. There's small businesses that are going to completely just bottom out and probably never bounce back through all of this. Are you listening? And You know, listen, God help us to learn from it. Our faith is going to be tested. Four times in the Word of God, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Four books of our Bible contains those four verses. Habakkuk, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. Your faith is going to be tested. Our faith, do we really believe? Do we really believe what this book says? Or is it just poetry? Or is it just historical stuff? Do we believe? Listen, we're being put to the test in our faith. Do we believe it? How strong are we willing to stand? How strong are we willing to stand? May the Lord help us. Amen. And so our faith is going to be tested. Number two, with that being said, you got to deal with this one. Our faithfulness is going to be tested. It's easy to be faithful when it's in the sunshine and everything's fine and everything's wonderful and everything's comfortable. But what about when the trial comes? And what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were told, if you don't bow, you're going to burn? You're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. You know what their faith did? Remained faithful. They remained faithful. I'd rather die than to deny. And I know, listen, I don't want to get on this, but I know that we're seeing at least some of what kind of power that our government has over people. And the mainstream media, the power that they have over people. And I know this has got the appearance that it's for us and it's for our health and it's a decision to try to protect us and curb this virus, you know, and all of that. But the government might be getting a good taste of the fact that, you know what? Whatever we say and the media says, the people's going to fall in line. Next time, it may not be a health issue. It may be a mandatory situation about something else or whatever. But listen, we don't know all those things. Those are things that are future or may not be future, but we know what this Bible says and what God wants us to be doing is living for Jesus, because my life could be over. One of my great preacher friends made the crossing yesterday, I believe it was, Pastor Lee Davis, a giant of a preacher, great man of God. Cross, gone. Promoted to glory. Are you listening? May the Lord help us. Our faith is going to be tested. Our faithfulness is going to be tested. In other words, here we're in somewhat of a lockdown type thing, you know, or restrictions are placed, you know, don't be traveling, don't be going to restaurants, don't be go here, don't do that, don't be around a lot of people, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? In other words, we've got some extra time on our hands. People are not going to school, college, school's out. Miss Brooks says amen. No, Miss Brooks don't say amen. So that frees up a lot of time. I want to ask you something. I want to ask all of us something. We've got a little more free time. Or how much of that free time are we using spiritually? Are we reading more? Reading the Bible more? Are we praying more? Are we spending time with the Lord more? Is our mind on the Lord more? Or do you consider that, oh wow, I got some free time, so that instead of being given to faithfulness in our devotions and our dedication and so forth, we're just going to spend that on leisure and playing video games and goofing off and sleeping 23 hours out of the day. God's watching how we respond to this. God's watching how we all respond to this. Our faithfulness is being tested. Thirdly, listen, I want everybody to hear this. Our feelings are being tested. Yeah, Preacher Rackley, I'm telling you. Yes, Preacher Rackley's telling the truth. My feelings has been all up in the air and everywhere in between. I've had feelings of frustration, aggravation, irritation. I wanted to pinch somebody's head off if I knew who was responsible for a lot of this stuff. Are you listening? Listen to a lot of the politicians want to reach through the camera and do something that I don't need to say on this phone or on this live stream. My feelings of disturbance, discouragement, depression, you name it, I've had it. And I'm not even a woman, and I've had all these things. Oh, help us, Lord. It's online. There it went. But a lot of times ladies gets the rap of, you know, being emotional, and they are. But I've been seeing that. My feelings has been, you know, I've been thinking, man, you know, church, like we, you know, here I'm preaching to, I'm preaching to five people this morning in here. And we're having a time. And four of them's females. So it's a wonder they didn't throw a songbook at me there a minute ago. But our feelings, some of you out there, listening to me, your feelings is all up in the air. Your feeling, you don't know where you're coming or going concerning your feelings. You don't know whether to be happy or whether to be sad, or you don't know whether to be optimistic or pessimistic. You don't know. But you're just, ever what you feel in each moment governs your life. And I don't know in the Bible anywhere where it says the just shall live by feelings. Your feelings, frustration. That, you know what that means? Here's a definition for that. The feeling of being upset or annoyed, especially because of inability to change or to achieve something. You know what the bottom line is behind that word frustration is? It's out of your control. That's what makes me so mad. It's out of my control. I can't control it. It's too big. I can't control it. If I could control it, I'd stop it. If I can control it, it would have never started. Feelings, frustration, aggravation, fear. The fear of not knowing. Miss Caden, I believe that's one of the things that is driving fear in the hearts of people is the unknown. The unknown. They're seeing their America, they're seeing their world turn upside down in a matter of just a few days. I mean, most towns, you go to a lot of towns, it's like a ghost town. Ain't hardly nobody out. Ain't nobody eating nowhere. Nobody. You go to Walmart, I ain't even been to Walmart. That tells you what that place means to me. I don't even been to Walmart. But they say, what, you know, the shelves are empty. A lot of them, shelves are empty. And I'd be highly upset seeing somebody roll out of there with three or four buggies of hoarding up something. That'd upset me. So I just stay at home and feed the dogs and stuff. Amen. You know, my dogs ain't worried. I went out there and fed them last night. They don't even know nothing about no coronavirus. They don't know nothing about no mainstream media. They're just happy to see their master coming out there with their food and petting them on the head. It's just another day for them. God help us to have our focus on our master to that point. Amen? That's right. So our feelings. Frustration is a fear of not knowing, the uncertainty. Freedoms being lost is affecting my feelings. Forced changes. Amen? Depression, danger, deficiency of supplies, lack of money. Our feelings, you know that's right. Our feelings is being tested right now, being tried. Number four, our fellowship is being tested. One with God, our fellowship with God is being tested. Our fellowship with our church is being tested. I want everybody to listen to this. Our fellowship with our church and pastors being tested. What could happen if you're not careful? I want everybody to listen. What could happen during these days? And we don't know how many days it's involved, going to be involved in this. This is our first service of not having our congregation. And we don't know how long it's going to be. It'd be real easy, listen everybody, it'd be real easy to become detached from your church family. It'd be real easy to become detached from fellowship with your, listen, I tell you what we all ought to do, and I'm the worst example, but we all should be spending some time during this downtime far as our congregating and assembling of ourselves together is to spend some time calling people. And I'm not talking about calling that one or two best buddy, pal, friend. I'm talking about call some of our older people. Call some of them. You know they're struggling. You know they may have some needs. You know they're wondering what in the world's going on and what the outcome's going to be. Spend some time calling them. Call some people that maybe you don't have the best relationship with. Just call, say, hey, letting you know I'm checking on you and just how are you doing and just making sure you're all right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There's ways for us to try to maintain some of our fellowship here at the church. With God's faith. So our fellowship with God's going to be tested and tried. Our fellowship with our church is going to be tested as well. And our fellowship with our families even can be. Number five, I want y'all to get this. Lord, give this to me. Your familiar is going to be tested. Is tested. Is being tested. What do you mean your familiar? Your normal life. Your normalcy. This is abnormal for us to have church on Sunday morning and our congregation can't come, visitors can't come, doors are locked. That's abnormal. I don't like it. I'd rather be, listen, hear that youth choir or adult choir sing this morning and have people saying amen and raising their hand and somebody testifying and people going to the altar. Praise God, we've had five people since last Friday week ago, our Jubilee, we've had five people profess to be saved. And more is under conviction. People that, amen. And I thought this morning, oh my goodness, how many more could have gotten saved this morning? If maybe this morning we could have had church. And I know what some of you think. Some of you super duper spiritual people out there in our listening audience. You probably got a big S on your chest. You probably leap over buildings. You're probably a superhero. But I'm going to tell you why. You said, preacher, you just don't have no faith. No, maybe I've got good sense. Say amen right there. That case down there in, where was it, Cartersville, Georgia? That church down there that had a breakout of the virus inside their church from one unsuspected choir member, didn't even know they had it. And now they've got, 41 cases inside, four critical, one already dead. I don't know that church. They may have said, you know what, we're going to have church. I don't care what nobody says. I don't know. Maybe it could have been prevented if they hadn't had service. But here was the reason I made the decision to do what we're doing. It's the same reason why that I cancel church service when we have a snow. I go out, I check the roads when it snows, Miss Caden, and if I think it's dangerous and treacherous and our parking lot is not being cleaned off or whatever the case is, and I get to thinking about the well-being of our flock, who could fall, one of our older folk fall, who could wreck, come into church or whatever, amen. And so I make that call to not have service when it snows based on the well-being and safety of my flock. And by the way, let me just say something else to you spiritual people out there. If missing 2 weeks of service throws your world in an absolute tailspin and you won't never live through it, you didn't have nothing to start with. Say amen right there. What if, and I mentioned this Wednesday night here, what if things happens in our country to where that a lot of your spirituality has having to come from inside your own house. I wonder how many men, fathers, husbands could lead the spiritual aspect of your home. I wonder how many of you could set your children down and could take the Bible and share something out of the Word of God to give guidance and direction and comfort and help to your children and to your wife. Are you listening? My son and my wife don't worry about that because I'm their pastor too. The only thing they're bothered is that me preaching just to them for all every time. That's right. And so, but listen, we don't know. We don't know. Listen, I know this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and I know this is where the buffalo roam and all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I'm seeing things in this country. Our freedoms are hanging by a thread in this country, amen. And it could be to where we may have to start meeting out in the woods somewhere, meet in private, meet under, meet in a secret place somewhere. I wonder how many people would bail out if they knew that there's a danger. Anyway, be as it may. Our familiar, I don't like that. I don't like driving to Morristown or somewhere and not being able to eat. I'm not going through no drive-thru if I can help it. And I'll tell you why. There ain't no telling how long it's been cooked. Maybe stuff from yesterday. I don't know. And plus, I can't get a refill on my drink. No, I ain't doing it. My familiar, another thing, my familiar. I don't like canceling revivals. I've canceled two already. One's supposed to be this week, starting tomorrow, with Brother Bobby King. And then the next week was supposed to be down in Thomasville, down in that area. And I just called the preachers and I told them, I said, look, I'm just uneasy. I got an uneasy feeling about coming with all this stuff going on. And I said, plus, I said, our church, folk, I said, if here I am canceling our church, then I'm going everywhere else preaching. And then being exposed to all kinds of people, Lord only knows what plagues and they've got. And then bring it back to here, to the flock that I'm trying to protect. I just told him, I never done that before. That's out of my familiar. I don't like that. I said, I've just got an uneasiness about it. I just do. And they said, well, since you feel like that, we just need to call it right now. I said, yes, sir. We'll reschedule, do something else. When I said this is my number one interest is the well-being of our church. Listen, that's it. You said, why are you here this morning? I'll tell you why. It's because I've got, even though we've got, how many we got watching right now? 45? Or so, watching right now. Thank God. But the main reason, I guess, that I'm here doing what I'm doing is because I've got church people that better be watching. Say amen right there. Which camera you got me on, brother? Which one's that? That one. I'm pointing right at you, RBT. You better be watching, friend. We're up here. I'm preaching to this group right here. Hey, we're enjoying the Lord and y'all sleeping in until 2 or 3 o'clock in the day. You need to be watching it live. That's right. Because this is your church service, amen. Under these circumstances, this is your church service. And when I get home, I'm going to check and see who's been watching. Our familiar is being tested. That's why this trial is so fiery and a problem is because it's getting us out of our normal. Let me hurry on. Our forwardness is being tested. Are we going to go forward or backwards? We're going to sit down, lay down, fall down, or are we going forward? Pressing on. Our finances will be tested, number 7. Your finances are going to be tested. Amen? Your finances are going to be tested. Here's you something else to think about. Look what it says in our text. But beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Try who? The one he just called beloved. Amen. A lot of people's got the false idea that if you're saved, you're exempt. That's not true. That's not true. Just nature itself, my friend, just being a human being, aligns you up with negative things. It rains on the just and the unjust. Amen? So anyway, there's testings, and I didn't get done, but I'm going to finish right there. I'm going to stop right there. And listen, don't fail the test. Don't fail the test. I was going to deal with some other things, but we've run out of time. But I hope that God has spoken to your heart. I want to give you this thought. The Lord gave this to me a long time ago, and it's one of the sayings the Lord allowed me to use several times. You don't always choose your circumstance, but you always choose your condition. You may not choose what's going on around you, but you do choose your reaction to it. If you quit, that's a choice. If you stay with God and gain ground with God and be more determined, I'm going to be used of God in a mighty way. I'm going to be a part of what God's doing in this difficult day. I'm going to let my light shine for Jesus. That's still a choice. I'm going to church. That's a choice. I'm going to watch the live stream. That's a choice. I'm going to call people. That's a choice. God help us in these days. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we come.